Praise the Lord. We're going to be reading today out of the book of Acts chapter 5, if you want to stand with us for the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 5 is amazing as we look at how that the church began and how that God's power and presence was there after the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit was poured out. They continued on in the work of God, work of the ministry, and various things happened to make them to know that God was a great creator, the great power of God. Great power, and God used them. Learned last week with great power, God gave witness to the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Grace, great grace was upon them all. They preached with great boldness. Amen. But something else needed to come in that church, our church, every church, and that is the great fear of God. Not the great being scared of God, but the great reverence and respect for a holy God. And so listen to this, Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Verse 9. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young man came in and found her dead and carried her out and buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Father, I thank you today, God, for your word. I pray that you'd bless, encourage, instruct us in righteousness. I pray for the anointing, the guidance of your Holy Spirit throughout the scriptures. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Lying to the Holy Spirit is one of the sins against the Holy Spirit. There are 7 sins against the Holy Spirit that are mentioned. The Spirit of God can be quenched. Spirit of God can be grieved. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. The Bible tells us that. And also, there is a sin that we hear of most often, and that is blasphemy or the unforgivable sin against the Holy Spirit, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And so, I've heard, you know, there's many people that have thought that they have sinned against the Holy Spirit, and therefore they can't be saved. But let me tell you something. If you have a desire to repent and be right with God, you've not blasphemed the Holy Spirit where you can't be saved. You can return. Amen. But in Jesus' day, that sin was to contribute the works of God into the works of the devil. And that's where they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, all things that are spoken against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, not in this world nor the world to come. But also here we have a serious sin against the Holy Spirit, and that is lying to the Holy Spirit in the scriptures that we read. And so there was many great things happening here in the early church. Amen. And church was began, and it began to go forward. It began to prosper. God began to bless, and God began to move. And even a great number of the priests came to know the Lord as their Savior, who had originally denied Christ was the Messiah. They began to believe, and God began to start his church, and even one particular time, 3,000 were added to the kingdom of God through Peter's preaching, and then 5,000, as many as 5,000 came after that. And so it was a church that was characterized with great boldness and great power and great grace. And so also with that church, there needed to come the great reverence and fear of God. And you and I as a church must have a great awe and reverence for the holy God that we serve and the God that's represented. And God gave the Holy Spirit to empower the church to witness, to stand against severe persecution And you'll find another place, another great thing on the church. The great persecution came also with that. But also, God gave the church the power to stand against severe persecution. He gave the church great power to stand for the truth in a world where satanic lies controlled it and control it now. And God's chosen us to be his chosen, he's given us to be his chosen people. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so you and I must have great reverence, great respect, and godly fear. And that would be learned in a most convincing way here in the early church. I think sometimes we forget the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is not something you get. The Holy Spirit is somebody. He is the third person of the Godhead, totally equal with God the Father and God the Son. You have God the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we come to today. And you can receive the baptism in the Spirit, praise the Lord, be filled with the Spirit, speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and that's what we need. Matter of fact, that's what most of the church is lacking today. We need that. But let's look at it first here. Let's look at the community church, for instance. Needs were met in the early church by people giving. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have government programs that supply the need of the elderly or people that didn't have what they needed, the necessities of life. Here, people sold lands, homes, possessions, and to promote the kingdom of God. And they shared with one another in life's necessities. Later on, they didn't always do this, but later on they lived in individual homes, met for prayer and worship and instruction in Scripture, much like churches do today. But then they sold everything they had, and the starting of the church began like that. And they laid everything at the apostles' feet. And as a matter of fact, they had to hire 7 deacons to take care of the meeting the needs of the people. While in the apostle says, we will give ourselves continually to the word of God in prayer. And so the idea of a community church consisted in that day of people selling everything they had and giving it all to the church. And then people in the church decided how it was distributed to everyone equally. I can see you looking around today, and what if it were like that today? Surely somebody had got more than their share. So it was not a doctrine of Scripture that God established that this is the way it's supposed to be from now on, because it didn't continue that way throughout the church in the New Testament. But God has always blessed faithful people so that they could be a blessing. And let me tell you something. God doesn't bless you so you can just have it easier and better in life. God blesses you so you can be a blessing to other people. God told Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, called him out, said, I want to make you through your seed, all names, all peoples of the world will be blessed. And God told Abraham, said, I'm going to make you a blessing as well. And so God does not want us just to be blessed, but he wants us to be a blessing to other people. Praise the Lord. And so community church, people that met together, and God never intended for us to be selfish or self-centered, but to be generous and Christ-centered. God can move upon your heart whenever you need to bless other people, whether it's financially or whether it's with prayer or fasting or however, God will help you. Amen. And let's notice this about the fear, reverence, respect, honor for a God that was challenged. Here we see Ananias and Sapphira. They had become part of the church. And they were no doubt excited about what God had done through all this. But somehow or another, somewhere along the line, they had got caught up in the idea of being recognized by people in the church and being revered and being reverenced in competition with God the Holy Spirit. And somehow, out of the desire to be recognized, they began to fall from their spiritual state that they had been in, and God took them out of what they were doing. And God did not bring just sort of a judgment upon them. He brought severe judgment, total judgment, upon Ananias and Sapphira. Somehow they lost the sense of God's holiness, justice, and began to yield to a carnal way of thinking. And I think that's something we don't realize today much. You know, the God that we serve is absolutely holy. You say, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah. Well, it's still true. God is completely holy. That means God is completely without sin, and God is not excited about any sin, period. And God hates sin. He doesn't hate the sinner, but he hates sin. He's willing to save the sinners, all of which we once were, and God saved us from it. Praise the Lord. So God does not lean and say a little sin's okay, or this sin's all right, or that sin's all right, because God does not like sin ever. He is completely pure and holy, and we must recognize that about God, that God is completely pure, completely holy. Heaven will be completely pure, completely holy. Heaven will be without sin. Heaven will be a place where there is no suggestion of doing anything evil or sinning against God in heaven. And so Ananias and Sapphira here, they didn't have a proper respect for God. They obviously didn't recognize him as fully holy and fully just and fully pure. And they yielded to a carnal way of thinking. And they began to think, well, people are bringing their tithes and offerings here. People are selling their possessions. They're bringing them here to the church. They're starting out, so we might as well do something too. But we're going to make it look like we gave everything, but we're really going to keep some back for ourselves. And their sin was not keeping back something from themselves. Their sin was lying to the Holy Spirit. And that's what they did. Okay? And they desired to be recognized and to give to the church, whether great or small, wasn't the sin at all. But their sin was lying, and God hates lying. But God must always be honored. God is holy, faithful, true, and without sin, perfectly righteous, just, and without sin. And the price of the land and the size of the offering was not the problem. Here you see. You say, well, their sin was that they didn't give it all. No, that was not their sin. Verse 4, after while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So we see here that it was not that they didn't bring enough to God, or they didn't give it all. The sin was that they lied about what they gave. Amen. And some work of the flesh entered in here, no doubt. And they became unfaithful to God. And verse 3 is a disturbing verse because Peter asks a question to Ananias here. It says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Amen. Ananias, why would you allow such a thing to happen? You not only gave way to the enemy of your soul, but you have let Satan fill your heart. Let me tell you something, friend. If you give the devil an inch, he'll take it a mile. If you open yourself up to him, he'll fill it with the evil. And God intended for his church to be filled, continually filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That was God's will for his church, not just to be filled once, but to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't stay filled with the Holy Spirit, the devil will figure something else out to put in your life that's not God at all. And so that's what happened. The father of lies was at work here, and he filled their heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. And when the enemy of your soul sees an opening into your life, he seeks to fill it. Satan is known as the father of lies, and that's what he is. And Jesus was talking to some people in his earthly ministry, and they accused him of various things, and Jesus said without question, he says, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's who the devil is. And so why would God bring us such a severe thing against this early church and against Ananias and Sapphira? Because the father of lies was at work trying to destroy the work of God in the early church. Now I can assure you we still have a devil to say no to. We still have evil to say no to. We still have a God that still needs to be uplifted and recognizes the holy, eternal one who does righteousness, holiness, and justice to people. into the world. That's who he is, holiness and righteousness and justice. But the devil is a promoter of lies. And Satan fell in the beginning because of pride. Because, you know, Isaiah chapter 14, we'll find there the devil said, I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, because he desired something that God got, and that was praise and worship. He was the anointed cherub, the most beautiful angel that God created, but he fell from that. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And we know that. He fell from heaven. He fell from his position, even as the anointed cherub that covered the holiness of God. And he was cast down. And he's no longer an angel of God, but he's completely full of evil. And there is no truth in him. He's completely full of lies. How could someone who was completely free, pure, and holy return and become evil again? Even an angel. How can people do that again? But they do many times. Let's look back to the Garden of Eden. Genesis, I think it was. But in the Garden of Eden, things were good. Mankind was created in the likeness and image of God. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And so we know that man was filled with God. In the Garden of Eden, he had uninterrupted fellowship with God. There was nothing between him and God. There was no sin that stood between Adam and Eve and God. They had it perfect. Amen. They could eat of all the trees of the Garden of Eden. The tree of life was in the midst of the Garden of Eden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was the one tree that God said you can't eat of the fruit of that tree, because in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And so we know that they was filled with wonderful things, and the Garden of Eden was a perfect place. There was perfect peace there, but the enemy would challenge that perfect peace. I can just imagine as Eve came to the garden that day, she had perfect peace in her heart. She had fellowship with God. There was nothing wrong. There was no sin standing between her and God. But there comes a viper, and it begins to speak. And the devil said, Eve, did God really say not to eat of that tree? Are you really sure that that's going to be that bad of a thing if you partake of this? And she opened the door and gave the devil a little place. And he began to fill her. And it wasn't just her. Adam sinned too. He wasn't there protecting his wife to start with, which he should have been. We don't blame it all on Eve and all on the woman. No, it was Adam and Eve both sinned. But they would do that, and it would spoil their world. And their world would be filled with lies. And God meant for his glory to fill the earth. And he told Adam and Eve, I want you to multiply and fill the earth. They did. But because sin had entered the earth, the world was filled with lies and is full of lies today. And the world was filled with religions, which simply is man's attempt to get to God some way or another. But most religions are just pointing people to a lie, not really the truth. And the only thing that will point people to the truth is for people to be pointed to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And the devil has filled the world with his lies, because that's what he is a liar. With lies on how to be saved, and every religion will have some way to tell you that when you die, you'll have a better life, or things will be better for you, and things will be okay once you die. There's all religions have some promise of an eternal life. But there is no eternal life without God, without Christ, the way, the truth, without life. Christ is life. He wrote your name in the book of life, heavenly city. New Jerusalem is a city of life. There's nothing but life in heaven. And unless you're born again by God's Spirit, amen, there will be no eternal life in you. But when you're saved, born again of God's Spirit, God gives you the gift of eternal life then, and you belong to God, and that's the only eternal life there is. It's what God gives, God the Father, through his Son. Amen. So the Garden of Eden was filled with good things. In uninterrupted fellowship with God, perfect harmony with God. Can you imagine what that would be like today if nothing, when you get down to pray and to read your Bible or whatever, Can you imagine nothing clouding your mind at all except God? Not what you got to do 15 minutes after you get through praying, if you pray 15 minutes, hopefully you do. Or if you say, well, you know, when I get done with this praying here, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go do that. Or I'll just mix God with what I'm doing right now, not take any time really for God. I'll just pray while I'm doing this or that. But my friend, do you really take time to get shut in with God where it's just you and Him and nothing else? That's what we must have. Amen. And so Eden was filled with good things, and our life may be filled with good things, but I want to tell you the enemy is looking for an opportunity to fill your life with something that's not good. And everything that he fills people's lives with is pointing people to a lie instead of to the truth. Today, there are churches that promote the gay lifestyle. They're gay churches. Don't get me wrong. I believe God can save anybody. But promote the gay lifestyle, preach on heaven, eternal life, sing Pentecostal songs and shout, but are a million miles from the truth. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit does not imitate the flesh. The Holy Spirit does not imitate sin to make it look better. That's people that do that. And it's the enemy of the sin. It's the devil that makes people do that. Or that the devil that people yield to. And a few years ago, I had some Mormons come to my house. And I said, are you a religious man? I said, yes, I'd say sort of. That's the way I answered him. My son was sitting on the couch. He about fell off the couch laughing, you know. Sort of, you know. And he said, they said, would you like to discuss the Bible? Would you be against discussing the Bible? I said, no, sure, come on in. I'll talk with you about the Bible. And they came in, and so I was very kind, very nice to them, and they were to me. And I said, you share with me what you believe, and then I'll share with you what I believe. And so they talked about the Book of Mormon and about the bright, great prophets there were today and how the prophets had come out of the Book of Mormon and all that, and how they had got such peace at reading the Book of Mormon. And then when we got done with their speech, I said, I'm quite different. I said, I respect you, but I'm quite different. I said, I don't believe in the Book of Mormon to start with. And I said, I don't believe there's any prophets past that are future prophets except in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, it's one book, the way of God. And there is one God, one way to heaven, that is through Jesus Christ. And I explained the gospel very simply. I said, that's where I stand. That's what I believe. And then they said, well, it's this way and that way. I said, no. I said, the problem is right here, you believe all of that. I don't believe that. I believe this, and that's where we're different at. And so they said, well, would you consider praying with us? I said, sure. We joined hands, and I prayed for them. And that was about all there was to that conversation. We didn't get mean at say any bad words to each other and all that kind of stuff, but they knew where he knew where I stood, and I knew where he stood. But I want to tell you something, friend. The devil will try, if you open the door slightly to him, he'll come in and fill you. And there's people out there that will fill you with a lie instead of the truth. But God will judge a lie. A deceiving spirit was at work here. A false witness was at work here. And so we find that as Ananias and Sapphira begin to yield to that Satan filled their heart. And Peter asks here, says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? You've seen God pour out his spirit. You saw the day of Pentecost. You saw God fully pour out his spirit. You heard Peter's message on the cross and the blood and redemption. And now, why have you let Satan fill your heart with something that's not the truth? To keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. It was in your hand. There was nothing wrong with you keeping part of it for yourself. But you have lied to God. And something happened to Ananias there that had never happened, will never happen again to him. He fell down and he was dead. And God brought this severe judgment. And I believe because the presence of God and the deity of God was so challenged here that God let this judgment fall upon Ananias and Sapphira because that they failed to recognize the holiness of who God was. And they failed to reverence third person of the Godhead. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do we really think that God can't discern our thoughts and motives and intentions? God does. He discerns everything. God doesn't have to look around and say, well, I need the gift of discernment today. God is the gift of discernment. He knows everything. He discerns everything. And that's brought out in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, where it says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my downsitting, my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You compass my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. You say, well, I don't want anybody to know me that well. My friend, get over it. God knows you that well. Praise the Lord. Before you ever decided to say what you're thinking, God knows what you're thinking. You understand my thought afar off. You are acquainted with all of my ways. God knows whether you're in pursuit of him or in pursuit of something else. And so God knows all of that. And so God knew this before it ever came to pass. Ananias fell down, hearing the words. The Bible says that great fear came up all those who heard these things. That wasn't enough. Young men arose and they buried him, wrapped him up and buried him. 3 hours later, his wife comes along. Sapphira comes along, tells the same lie, same story. Because you see, the devil's never satisfied with one lie. He wants it to multiply and become many lies until you're nothing but lie. Until he's filled people with lies and that's all they have. They don't have any truth in them. These people had received truth and were part of the church, but they had begun to receive lies. And after a while, lying became perhaps a way of life for them. 3 hours later, his wife come in, not knowing what had happened. Peter answered, and tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Peter said, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt or test the Spirit of the Lord? A foolish thing, yes. Do we think that God has never seen people double up on a lie? Well, he sees it all the time. Man, if I can get enough people to promote the lie that I'm trying to get here, then God will be convinced that I'm not lying. No, that didn't work with Ananias and Sapphira. How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of God and to look at the feet of those who have buried your husband or at the door and they will carry you out? Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. They carried her out and buried her by her husband. And so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. My friend, this cannot help but just talk to my heart, to yours, I pray, that there is something to the reverence and the respect for God that cannot be missing in our lives as Christians. You may not fall down dead if you don't do right, but you might. Ananias and Sapphira here, they're made an example. We trust that God is purely holy, purely righteous and gracious, and God does not put up with lies. He will not live in the same place the father of lies lives. God will not allow you slip off into working in the way of the enemy and to a lying spirit that's there and say, well, you can be saved and a little bit of a liar at the same time. No, God's going to make you clean house before he's going to come in and live there. And so he does. Praise the Lord. And so we see that Ananias and Sapphira here, they were judged immediately because of their sin, and they did not respect the holiness or the reverence of God, and they didn't realize that God's name was Holy Spirit, the holy part they didn't get. Amen. But we find that God brought judgment upon them, and God will bring judgment upon a whole world one day that's not looked to him, that has denied and mocked his son and not served him and have refused the offer of the Son of God for salvation. God will judge a world just like that one day. But I can tell you something, the people of God, the children of God who love God and serve God and walk with God, there's a great eternity prepared for you one day. That is as great or greater than the Garden of Eden of perfect fellowship, perfect harmony with God, where there will be nothing wrong and no sin and nothing to offend a holy God. We'll be with him forever. We'll receive the end of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls, eternal life. Praise God. So lying to the Holy Spirit, or lying, period, is not what God invented. It comes from the devil. And so God made his impression upon that early church, upon ours, I hope, that we reverence, respect, and worship a holy, mighty, faithful, and powerful God. Praise God. Amen.